The following program is created for informational purposes only and does not constitute as medical advice. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the host. If you think you may have a medical emergency, consult your doctor.
This is where the healing begins.
This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. Thanks for joining. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. Or you can always check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam and consultation, just $25. Today we are going to talk about common habits that you might be doing that are robbing your energy. I think as a society, we have gotten accustomed to thinking that feeling bad is normal. And in reality, it is something that is common, though not normal. I see this a lot with people who come in with headaches and back pains. They say, oh yeah, you know, like I have headaches, but I mean, everyone has headaches, right? Or my low back hurts, but everyone at 45 has back pain. So I mean, it's pretty, like I have the normal back pain. I have the normal amount of headaches. And it is one that I'm very quick to bring them back to the point that there is no normal headaches. There are no normal amounts of back pain. It is common, though a lot of people have it. It's not normal. It's trying to say the same thing. Heart disease. Oh, high blood pressure. It's pretty normal. No, it's not. It's common. A lot of people have high blood pressure, high cholesterol, though it is not normal. Your body is literally trying to give you a symptom, a warning sign, you know, your check engine light to come on to say like, hey. And really, low energy is no different. In a lot of what we're going to talk about in terms of things that ruin your energy or rob your energy are simple fixes. They're lifestyle choices. So it's just getting back down to, you know, what specifically are they? And then what can we do in order to turn that around? You forget, you are made to be wonderful. You are made to be lively and energetic, and unfortunately, that's not the life that we're living. And it's you know, it's sad. It's sad to watch that we've normalized this sick society. But it's figuring out, like, when you become sick and tired of being sick and tired, then that's when you decide that you want to make the change. And until you want to make the change, then you're just going to run around being sick and tired and sick and tired. So it's just one. I want to share this funny story with you. I can only hope that he's listening, because this is one like you have to start looking at things differently. And what a blessing it is that we are around the greater Indianapolis area to really be able to say like, hey, here is what we can do to help you. And so I had a patient who came in this last week, and I was like, you know, hi, so-and-so, great to meet you. I'm Dr. Leanne. And he said, I hear you on the radio. I said, yeah, that's me. And he sat down and he crossed his arms and he said, I just want to let you know that I don't buy things from the radio. And which was somewhat confusing for me, you could see, because he said that he came in because he listened to me on the radio. So it was just one that he was like, you know, this, what I hear on the radio, it's always like the newest thing, the biggest fad, right? And it's all this. And I'm like, you're 100% correct. You are 100% correct. Because there's so many times that you know what people really want. Buy now, right? Like, come and get it. We've got this super juice that cures all things. And, you know, we've got these doctors who say, I'm the only doctor that adjusts this bone. And I have the all, right? And it's just, you know, I was like, you're right. But here's the thing. I've been doing this now for 8 years. 8 years. Gosh. And I have a lot, you know, it's what's interesting is that I've talked about a lot over the course of 8 years. And I'd love to say that some things are just massively different than what I talked about 8 years ago. But generally, for the most part, it's this, this is just human cellular cycle. This is how function and healing work in the body. But the problem is with the invention and progression of the internet, you can go on and ask them, you know, how do I get healthy? And they'll give you 100 different fad diets, and some work better than others. And, you know, when it just gets back down to it, it's not allowing for function and healing of the body better. It's just a quick fix, a mask, and that ultimately isn't our point. So that's, you know, really just when you want to get back down to real, sustainable solutions, that's what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. So before we get into the common things that rob your energy, let's talk a little bit about some news.
Dr. Leanne's Health News.
Some studies suggest that too much sugar can literally mess with the brain.
Health News Now, one of the world's most commonly prescribed medications. Maybe
today, the average American consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Protesters say they just should not be forced to get this shot, not by the government.
Today is Health in the News. We are talking an article from Healthline. Does intermittent fasting work, and how can you do it? What to know? Caught my attention. So a new study conducted in the UK found that restricted eating plans, otherwise known as intermittent fasting, can be just effective as helping people lose weight compared to other more complicated diets. Intermittent fasting may help reduce overall calorie intake, especially nighttime eating, which can help people lose weight. More research is needed to explore the impact of intermittent fasting and what it has on our health and how it can be used for weight loss. Now, one thing that I'm going to talk about through here is that, you know, they call this new study that's conducted by the United Kingdom, they call it restricted eating plans. There's a really, like, when you talk about intermittent fasting, it's fasting. When you talk about restricted eating plans, there is such a negative connotation to that verbiage. Oh my goodness. So it was research that was published just recently that followed a small group of people that were obese over the course of 12 weeks. The participants who adhered to the diet's strictest, it's not a diet, it's like a lifestyle choice, you know, and strict, it's like the duration of intermittent fasting. The verbiage on this is just very uneducated. But they reported the most weight loss, but even those who followed a less rigid intermittent fasted regimen lost weight. What's interesting is that they're focusing on weight loss, but really what they're failing to see is the health benefit of it. So they talked about, you know, why intermittent fasting can lead to weight loss. And they said the most common intermittent fasting plan to follow is the 16-8 diet, which requires people to fast for 16 hours and then only eat for within a specific 8-hour window, right? So you would eat, maybe skip breakfast and have lunch at 11, dinner at 6, and you stop eating at 7. So 11 to 7, that's your 8-hour window in which you eat. They talked about it's unlikely that someone will overcome the calorie skip during the 16-hour fast in those 18 hours they're allowed to eat. So what they're seeing this as is that it's more of because you're only eating in a window, you have less nighttime snacking. So therefore, you lose more calories that way. So they say, oh, you reduce calories. But I mean, you could just eat a normal time and still reduce your caloric intake. That's called dieting. That's not intermittent fasting. So that's why I have a little bit more problem with this is that, you know, they say, hey, there can be some really, really good hope in terms of intermittent fasting, this restrictive diet plan. And I'm like, no, because really when you look at some of the benefits of intermittent fasting, what they're failing to see is that intermittent fasting, not just from a caloric intake standpoint, but from a scientific standpoint, literally found that your blood insulin levels drop significantly, which facilitates fat burning. That didn't take that into account. It takes about, there's evidence, research that literally shows blood levels of human growth hormone increase as much as fivefold. And the higher level of human growth hormone, HGH, actually helps facilitate fat burning, muscle gain. You know, they don't talk about the cellular repair that happens, the cellular repair process and removing waste from cells, autophagy, which is what that would be called. They don't talk about gene expression and how there's beneficial changes in several genes and molecules related to longevity and protecting them against disease. They don't talk about how short-term fasting actually increases your metabolic rate by 3.6 to 14%. You know what they talk about? You eat less calories, so you lose weight. So good news is that this mainstream media is picking up on, hey, intermittent fasting can really have some positive health benefits. What they fail to do is, one, repeatedly call it intermittent fasting and reference it as, you know, restricted diet plans. Just super unfortunate. And they just talk about the reason why it's successful in weight loss is because it lessens calories. But again, you can just lessen calories throughout the day, still eat in a 14-hour window, but you're not going to get the same health benefits as intermittent fasting. Intermittent fasting is truly what we want to look at. So now when we get back, we will talk about common actions, things that you are doing that could be robbing your energy.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic. For more information and to schedule an appointment, visit greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. Or you can always check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam and consultation, just $25. Are you the person who feels like you just never have enough energy? You're always fatigued, that you wake up tired, you feel drained throughout the day. Are you or someone you know the person who has to rely on coffee or energy drinks or sugar to keep up with everyday life? And so again, it's just revisiting and reminding you that low energy is not normal. It's just hard because it's kind of like, you know, it reminds me a bit of mental health when you say, or pain. You know, it's very easy to say, you know, I have a headache, and they say, oh my goodness, it's because you have high blood pressure, right? Or you say, I don't feel good, and they say, well, your blood sugar is 450. You know, those are measurable disease processes, right? Those are measurable, not symptoms, but labs, right? That when you say I'm tired, you know, on a scale from 0 to 10, what does that look like? If there was, I only laugh because I think about you know, having kids and being a new mom, getting up in the middle of the night, nursing, you know, having other little kids. And just that level of exhaustion was just, I mean, it's like next level exhaustion. There's not a time to rest. And like, that would be my thought process of a 10. So, you know, if you walk into the local coffee shop and there's little numbers over people's heads, if you could measure it, like who's at a 1 or a 2 versus fatigue versus like a 10, you know, imagine if we had something that was that measurable, but unfortunately we don't. So it is not common to have low energy, though it is normal. A lot of people have it, which is why you look at the coffee shops and you see how they are very, very busy. So let's talk about some things that might be robbing your energy. Number one is alcohol. Now, we have very much viewed in our culture is that, you know, because we work so hard, we want to kick back, have a nightcap after a busy day, helps us fall asleep. But what's interesting is that you might feel more relaxed having a drink in the evening, but it's actually not beneficial for your overall energy. It was interesting when I was reading this, and I had to think back that I believe I was in high school. It was either like my senior year of high school or it was college. It's quite a bit of time back. But I remember doing a paper, and that paper looked at sleep cycles after alcohol consumption. And I remember being really, really surprised that it really only took 1 to 2 drinks for your body to not reach the proper REM cycle when you sleep, which is one of the reasons why you don't feel as if you are, as refreshed as you would if you didn't have that drink, right? So sometimes we're like, oh, it's just going to help me fall asleep. But in reality, it actually lessens your body's ability to get the quality of sleep that your body needs to feel refreshed. And that's one of the reasons you have more interrupted sleep. You end up sleeping for a shorter period of time, or what you get is not restful. You know, the other side of things, and now mind you, this is coming from an individual who literally just reached out to a friend because she posted, I don't know, there's, you know, special watches or monitors or whatever, and it can kind of, it measures your sleep patterns, you know, how much you moved, if you were awake, whatever. And she had posted that she had had a couple of glasses of wine the night before, you know, and 100% is the best, and her sleep cycle was like 21%. She's like, it just goes to show you. And a couple glasses of wine. That was all I could say was like, hey, speak that negativity into the world. She was like, maybe I should move to vodka. And I was like, listen, I never saw anywhere in the Bible that anybody turned water into vodka. They turned water into wine. So I'm still all with it, but, you know, to each their own. The other problem, though, with alcohol consumption is that it depletes a lot of your vitamins. So more specifically, a lot of B vitamins, right? B1 is one of the most common depleted with alcohol is B1. So B1 is thiamine. And your body needs thiamine for breaking down carbohydrates from food, producing fatty acid, synthesizing certain hormones, creating certain neurotransmitters in the brain. So it is very common with alcohol consumption to be depleted in not only B1, but also B12. I feel like B12 people know about a little bit more. No one really loves to talk about thiamine, but we talk a lot about B12, which is also cobalamin. So cobalamin, B12, is used for creating new blood cells, DNA synthesis, brain and neurological function, fat and protein synthesis, like metabolism. So it depletes. So here's one. where if you're like, I'm really tired, one, you kind of have to address, even if it doesn't seem like it's a lot, you know, a nightcap or two in the evening could be one where not only is it not allowing you to get the proper REM sleep, but it is also making it so that you're deficient in B vitamin, CoQ10, magnesium. And then when you wake up tired, guess what you do? You say, I am going to drink a bunch of coffee or energy drinks or sodas. And so what happens is we put an excessive amount of caffeine in the body. And some amount of things like coffee can actually have positive neurological benefit. You know, they showed one cup a day can help with brain health, dementia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's disease. But the problem is not a cup, right? Can we be realistic with people? It's not a cup that's the problem. It's the type of coffee, because some coffee is more caffeinated than others, and it is the amount that you're doing. So first and foremost, I will tell you, don't drink any caffeine after noon, right? Because you really want to talk about not sleeping properly and why you feel zapped. Oftentimes, it kind of resets your baseline. Your body's goal is to be at homeostasis. So every time you add in a stimulant of like energy drinks or sodas or coffee, right, your body is stimulated. So your body has to work really, really hard to bring everything back down to homeostasis. And so when we do that every single morning, we stimulate our body. Our body has this like knowledge process where it's like, you know what? I know what happens when we get up in the morning. I get this stimulant. So what it does is it drops you down. So then when you have that coffee, it just brings you back up to baseline. I tell you, if you have never done a 2-week coffee purge or caffeine purge, I'm telling you right now, this is what you need to put on your list, is one of your number one to-dos, is that you're going to go 2 weeks. And I will tell you, first several days is rough. But every time I do a caffeine limit and say, okay, I'm gonna do 2 weeks with no caffeine, I think I'm ridiculous and I hate myself for the first 3 to 4 days. And by the end of the 2 weeks, I feel great. I honestly don't think that there's 1-2 week caffeine purge that I've done that I've not done longer because I've felt so good at the end of the 2 weeks. So the other one too that I see a lot is that it does lead to dehydration. So it also is one that depletes B vitamins as well as vitamin C. It limits absorption of key minerals like calcium, magnesium, iron, and zinc, all which are needed for energy. But we forget that caffeine is a diuretic. So it is designed to push fluid out of the body. But the average person is relatively dehydrated anyways. So what you're doing is you're taking a dehydrated individual and then you're giving them a diuretic, which therefore is making them more dehydrated. Do you see how that's a problem? And that is one of the other ones. So we talked about how it could be alcohol consumption, it could be your excessive caffeine consumption, or it could be your lack of consumption of water. You know, it's so often that I hear in the office, like when people are thirsty, they don't reach for water for some reason. They rely on coffee or tea, soda, energy drinks, right? We've got all of these sugary drinks that we think are providing hydration, but in reality are actually ones that will dehydrate the body even more. So when we're in this state of chronic dehydration, our cells literally don't know what to do. One thing is that there was actually a study done by University of Washington that discovered that one glass of water stopped hunger pains for almost 100% of the individuals in the study. 75% of Americans are chronically dehydrated. We talk about water all the time in the office, to the point where if someone comes in and says, I have this new thing, you know, one of the first things I ask them is, how much water have you been drinking? And that is the reason why. Dehydration taxes the heart by causing it to pump faster to get sufficient oxygen to your muscles. It lessens your body's ability to cleanse itself from toxic waste. So in return, your kidneys and liver have to work harder for removal. Without proper hydration, you are likely not having proper bowel movements. So you'll find that insufficient water intake, it makes it harder to remove waste and toxins through your stool. It helps lubricate joints and lessen discomfort from arthritis. It helps carry red blood cells. So you think about all of the things that water does on a cellular level and how much harder your body has to work on a cellular level to be able to do normal everyday functions. And then we can't figure out why we are so tired. And literally, if you could see what your organ systems were having to do from the sheer fact that you have consumed more alcohol and more caffeine than you have water in the last week. Well, here's where, so first and foremost, right, you have to address those two things, but you need to start consuming more water. You know, I tell individuals, take whatever you weigh, cut it in half. So if you weigh 200 pounds, that's 100 ounces of water every day. If you have a 20-ounce cup of coffee, which would be like a large in most places, larger venti, it's a 20-ounce, that 20 ounces depletes you, so you have to add that back. So instead of 100 ounces, you really need to have 120 ounces of water every day, not just for one day, every day. Now, what about stomach acid? Can your stomach acid have an effect on your energy? We'll talk about that next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. Check out Dr. Leanne on Facebook. Facebook.com/Greenwood Family Chiropractic.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or you can always go to our website, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com, that's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com, to schedule an appointment. Initial exam and consultation is just $25 to see what's going on. You know, you always look at cost benefit ratio, like what $25 really can get you. And that's, you know, on the average pair of shoes, that's like one shoe, not even a pair of shoes. You get one. It's like a sandwich, chips and a drink for two individuals. You know, that's two large coffee and two breakfast sandwiches at your local coffee shop. You know, what is $25 to you, and what do you spend it on? And what if that $25 you could take to invest to change the health, the outcome, and the family tree for the rest of your life? Would that $25 be worth it? You know, so it's one that you look at. People have time and money for what they value. I've seen this so, so often. And people say, yeah, you know, I really value my health. And then you look at what their bank statements say and you say, does that really reflect what you're saying? What are you putting in? You know, I spend way more money, and, you know, I'm blessed that I don't have to spend money in chiropractic because it's my office. So I get adjusted there, you know, same thing with my husband and my kids, but I would 100% invest a ton of money in that. You know, we spend a lot of money on groceries because we choose to invest in healthy food. But you know what? I figure investing in healthy food now, which is going to cost me, will cost more than a disease process will cost my family in the long run. And that's just monetarily. That's not, you know, what it costs me for memories, what it costs me from stress, what it costs me from pain, right? That's just from a monetary standpoint of like doctor bills versus investments. You know, we spend a lot of money on supplements. Why? Because that's important to me. We spend a lot of money on, my husband more so for gym equipment, for our garage, mine for, you know, gym memberships. Yeah, it's probably more money than I ever wanted to spend, but I utilize it. Why? Because that's important to me. That investment is important to me. And so when you look at what are you investing into your health, know that your health is not stagnant. It's you're building health or you're losing your health. And so your dollars put there mean a lot. Now we're talking about energy robbers, common things you may be doing that are robbing your energy. And one of them is compromised stomach acid. So when you look at, so your stomach is designed to be a very acidic place. It is supposed to be like that. The problem is that when we get, and I'm just going to call it dysbiosis, right? Because this isn't a gut health show. But if there's an array of gut issues that can actually lead to low stomach acid. So number one is acid reflux, right? And you would think, well, that means I have too much acid, right? I'm dumping in acid. But then guess what happens when you have too much stomach acid? Guess what you take? Something that lessens the stomach acid, right? It's like, hey, let's neutralize the stomach acid. And so the problem is that we actually need acid for absorption of very specific nutrients. Iron, this is huge. So oftentimes we always look at a diagnosis of anemia as a primary diagnosis. And the question is, do you have a practitioner who's looking at everything to figure out, is this a primary diagnosis? Or is the fact that your iron deficiency is because you have a B deficiency, right? You need B vitamins in order to absorb iron. So is this a B vitamin deficiency? Where's that B vitamin deficiency coming from? Is it an absorption issue? Is it a fact that you can't absorb B vitamins because you have low stomach acid, right? So symptoms that are associated with low stomach acid are bloating, belching, flatulence, which is gas. If you have candida, I'll tell you what, I struggled with candida quite a bit when I was a kid and I didn't know it. But more specifically, I remember in college, right? You're like just this bratty little college kid. So we'd always take pictures with like our tongues out. Or I remember seeing singers on television who would sing, the camera would be really close, and they would have this beautifully pink tongue. And I was like, gosh, I've never had that. My tongue was always like white coated. And not everyone was like that. And I had no idea why. And I had tons and tons and tons of health problems. But indigestion, diarrhea, acne, food allergies, iron B12 deficiencies, heartburn, food sensitivities, allergies, all signs of low stomach acid. So really when you have this kind of dysbiosis in the gut, dysbiosis just meaning like your gut is unhealthy. If you will, it could be from a lot of different things. Candida, small intestinal bacteria overgrowth. Really, it comes down to figuring out if you're taking these things, you know, oftentimes acid reflux can be caused from poor nutrition. So do you need to change your nutrition? Another one is a sedentary lifestyle. Right. So when you talk about sedentary lifestyle, you think, oh, well, that, of course, that would kind of not, like, I'm tired, so I don't want to move, but I don't want to move, so I'm tired. And it's kind of this, you know, catch 22. But here's just a couple key points on why a sedentary lifestyle will cause you to be more tired, but two, why you have to get up and move. So they actually found that not moving your body may lead to poor circulation. And that makes sense, right? Like that's why when you don't move for a long period of time, you have a higher likelihood of blood clots, DVTs, deep vein thrombosis. It's because you're not moving that your blood pools. And so then your body has to work harder at getting that movement. But then the other thing too is Can you overexercise? Yes, you can. But getting up and moving is one of the biggest things too, because they found it decreases brain function in terms of sedentary lifestyle. So it affects the performance of, it's called BDNF, so brain-derived neurotrophic factor. And it leads to reduced levels of concentration, forgetfulness, confusion. Your body is meant to move. When you stop moving, you die. It's just like anything. Motion is life. You put a cast on your arm, does it get stronger or weaker? It gets weaker. Why? Because it stops the mobility, and motion is life. Chronic fatigue. When you don't move on a daily basis, your body actually weakens, and it has an inadequate amount of mitochondria. And so what happens is it makes you feel extra tired and even more energy throughout the day. You know, sometimes we think about, well, I don't have time to go to the gym. I don't really know what to do. And here's really what you have to do. Just move. Even if it's getting up to walk, go walk around your local grocery store for, if that's the only thing. If you can't say, hey, I can't afford a gym membership, I don't want to go and walk the halls of the mall. Like, what do I do? Okay, well, there's a lot of gym memberships now that are incredibly affordable for unlimited, you know, $10 a month. Or, just, you know, it's free. Walk around the grocery store. That's good. You have big open spaces, and there's no obligation for cost for that. But movements, you just have to move. It doesn't have to be this, you know, lifting weights, garage gym kind of idea. I think the biggest portion is that you have to get up and move. Because one, not only is that movement going to help with circulation, mental stability, that mental stability also helps with stress. And so increased stress, the problem with increased stress is that it has quite a bit of damage to your adrenals. So when you have all of this excessive stress, you increase your body's cortisol, which is a stress hormone. You have this fight or flight stress hormone response, and the body can't differentiate you being attacked by a bear or a stressful day at work, right? So imagine being attacked by a bear all day and all night long. Yeah, literally stress increases your blood pressure. It increases your heart rate. It decreases your immune system. So it makes it harder to fight and recover from illness. You'll notice that it slows down your digestive system. So you see more stomach cramping and reflux. You know, this is one too where, you know, people struggle with conception and they say, well, just relax. And you're like, I am relaxed. But the problem is imagine if you're being chased by a bear, you're in this sympathetic state of fight or flight. Your body's not like, you know what we should do? We should reproduce right now. Let's have some babies. Like, that's just not how the body works. Stress overall can lower your bone density. So stress, it is one that, again, it's somewhat, you know, like the fatigue level is like, there's not a measurable area of stress. On a scale from 0 to 10, how stressed are you? Let me put the monitor on. Oh, you're at a 14. Oh my gosh. You need to take a week off work. Like, it would be nice, wouldn't it? It's just not how the human body and science has evolved to yet, at least. That is medication, right? Now, medicine has a time and a place, of course, but medicine can also deplete different vitamins. You know, so you have something like statins, for example. Statins are known, this is not like a I think, there's tons of research that talks about how statins decrease CoQ10. CoQ10 is the little energy pack inside of your cells. And so what happens is that if you're not supplementing with CoQ10, this is when you're, why do I feel so tired? My muscles ache and all of this problem. And you're like, yes, because of a medication problem. So that's one where, again, we don't put you on them. We don't take you off of them. But if you're on certain medications, you do have to look at the vitamin and mineral depletions that it might have, because that's where you can ultimately see that problem. So solutions, right? What do we have? If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter. So one is that you have to, for stress, I would tell you, focus on gratitude and prayer. It is one that, you know, if you wake up and before you allow your feet to hit the floor, you think of three things that you are grateful for. And every morning for the next month, before your feet hit the floor, I want you to think of three different things that you are grateful for. Your day will start differently. 100%, your day will start differently. We need to look at minimizing the things that cause dehydration, i.e. alcohol, caffeine, and optimize hydration. So again, take whatever you weigh, cut it in half, and that needs to be your minimum. If you don't, if you're one of those individuals, well, I don't really like water. Okay, well then throw some lemons in it. Throw some cucumber in it. Throw some cucumbers and some strawberries in it. Might like spice it up a little bit. You can add that in. I did lemon cucumber water the other day just because I stole the cucumber out of a friend's drink and there were lemons on the table. And I was like, this is really good. And so we have a glass pitcher at the house that we fill up. And as we kind of pour it out, we'll put a little bit more in it, put it in the fridge. It lasts for 2 days. And then we toss all the fruits and veggies or whatever's in there. So what else? Oh, you could throw apple cider vinegar in. So that's always a really great one. And then movement, right? We want you to get up and move. So it will help you improve circulation, help strain your lymphatic system. Here's oxygen that literally moves inside of the tissue. So there are so many different things that you can do to make sure. And then make sure you're just taking good supplementation, a good whole foods multivitamin, B complex, make sure it's methylated, delayed release. Max Living has a great one. If you want to check them out at our office, we have them on hand pretty much 24/7. But give back to your body, right? Nourish your body, love your body, care for your body, make that investment, because your energy is just a sign your body's not functioning the way that it should. So thanks so much for tuning in. Look forward to next week, but always remember that your power is on.